Welcome to this edition of the Life Sounds Good podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Wendy. And today we're talking to Elliot Teed, a hearing instrument specialist, and Nancy Robinson, a customer experience manager, both of them from HearWell Be Well Hearing Clinics.
We're talking about what makes HearWell Be Well different from other hearing clinics and some of the barriers that people have to treating their hearing loss.
Don't miss out, because as you know, life sounds good.
In your opinion, what makes HearWell Be Well different from other hearing clinics?
I just feel like there's just a lack of knowledge and understanding in the industry. I feel like even the schooling system back in the day didn't really give them a fighting chance. It was more just based on like the base of testing and not enough on actually fitting a hearing aid. And obviously there's aspects of, you know, getting the client to buy in, mm-hmm. right? To move forward with a hearing aid. So I think people are really good at the testing aspect and they're really good at getting the buy-in. It's the fitting that I find where a lot of other places have really just fallen short. That's really why I do what I do, is because I see a lot of clients coming from other clinics and their fittings are terrible and they're wondering why they're not doing so well with their hearing aids. They're struggling to hear, they're struggling in background noise, just all around, just not a good experience. And it's causing this, this industry message that hearing aids aren't good, right? And it's really not that. Like, the hearing aids are awesome. Hearing aids are getting better and better every year. Like, they exponentially get better every 2 years. It's really about that person who has the understanding of fitting that hearing aid to that specific person based on the hearing loss that they tested and providing the proper coupling, meaning, you know, either the right dome or the right venting on their custom mold. And then also the tweaks within the software to get that hearing aid to, get them to hear clearly. There's also advanced features that help them with noise reduction, you know, wind noise reduction, sudden loud sounds can be dampened for, you know, a really good, comfortable experience. And people in the industry fail miserably by, you know, neglecting all of this, right? It's just like, get them in, get the buy-in, get them quickly set up, and get them out the door, right? We spend a lot of time, you know, managing the fitting of the hearing aid to ensure that they are, in fact, getting a good result. It's not just that, it's also, you know, we do sound field testing, right? So we do spoken word speech at normal conversation levels, and we ensure that they are actually, you know, being able to hear words and repeat them. And if they're not getting that word, we go in and tweak to ensure that they're capturing the sounds that they're missing. So, and there's other ways of doing that. I mean, there's real ear testing as well, but I think that still can fall short. Sure, we can have a microphone in their ear, seeing, you know, how much that hearing aid is amplifying at the eardrum. But if, you know, there's so many things that can go a little bit wrong with real ear, because you have to first do a measurement of their ear without the hearing aid, and then they have to put the hearing aid in afterwards, and that probe tube, that probe microphone in the ear can shift. And if it's shifting either in or out, or say it gets plugged up with wax, the result can go completely awry, and we can over amplify or under amplify certain frequencies. And they go, okay, great, I'm hitting targets on the computer based on this mic reading, and you should be good, right? And we send them out the door. What we do is we take it an extra step and say, okay, are they actually hearing with this setup? And then create more fine tuning. So there's a lot that goes in to our hearing aid fittings. And because, you know, a lot of people think hearing aids are just a product, right? They are absolutely, I mean, there's a part of it that's a product, but it's more of a service than it is a product. And the when people, you know, first get hearing aids and it's treated as a product, they realize soon after that, no, this is a service. I need help. I need someone to walk with me, hold my hand the entire way. And I need someone who is able to, who has the knowledge to do this and understand what I'm going through and how to fix it.
To further what Elliot said is that, you know, above and beyond everything else, like we really slow down and we meet people where they are, right? It may be our office, but it's their appointment. And we really do take the time, you know, however much or little is needed with every individual to ensure that they never feel like a number in our clinic, that they receive, you know, an exceptional level of service and care, regardless of what clinic they visit in Ontario, whether it be our Huntsville clinic, our London clinic, or, you know, any clinic in between. We have a standard of care that our, you know, clinicians are really devoted to upholding. And we really just take the time to make sure that everybody is hearing to the best of our ability.
We talk about the concept of barriers around getting hearing aids. Barriers are really personal. Every single person has their own barrier thing going on. But there seems to be clusters of, you know, whole groups of people that fit into sort of barrier categories. Can you share with me some of the barriers that you've personally experienced and what's your response to that barrier to help people get over it?
So I think that there are a lot of different barriers. As mentioned, I think that it is something that is very unique to the individual that's sitting in front of you. For a lot of Ontarians, there is a financial barrier between accessing hearing healthcare, specifically in regards to hearing aids. The reality is that the devices, when you purchase hearing aids, you're really purchasing two things. You're purchasing the physical devices as well as the services required to program and verify those devices. And both of those things are regulated. The devices are regulated by the government, and then the services are regulated by our governing body, which is AHIP. And the government also regulates through ADP, which is the Assisted Device Program, how much they contribute monetarily towards the cost of hearing aids in Ontario. The reality is that the price, you know, either through the government or through AHIP, of those regulated services and devices constantly goes up. But the contribution from the government has not changed in over 30 years with ADP. So the government contributes $500 per year every 5 years. They've actually decreased their contribution instead of increasing it. You used to be able to access that grant every 3 years, and now it's every five. And the reality is that hearing aid technology, it's not a drop in the bucket when it comes to a financial expense. It really can be, you know, depending on your hearing loss, depending on your lifestyle and what features you're looking for in technology, it can be an investment in your quality of life. And for a lot of people, especially in today's world where, you know, we're seeing crazy inflation, you know, skyrocketing interest rates, it's just something that is not, you know, within their financial means. So for a lot of Ontarians, price is absolutely a barrier.
How would you work with someone who had that barrier?
So for people that do have concerns with price, there are a lot of different purchasing options that we offer because you know, it's a lot of money in their world and it's a lot of money in our world. And we can certainly sympathize that it's a large purchase. So we offer outright purchase options. We offer payment plans. We offer a subscription program to hearing aids. So instead of having, you know, any incredible amount of money up front in order to access that care, they pay a small monthly payment and are able to take home the devices that way. For most people that purchase hearing aids, you're not purchasing hearing aids because you want them. You're purchasing them because you need them.
Elliot, what barrier comes to your mind as sort of a top barrier?
Here's a big one. People don't like change, right? They become accustomed to what they're experiencing in their life. And when they come to us, they are asking for, they want help. But when they realize how much of a change this is making in their life, it can be scary. And it can be overwhelming for them. Because, like, over time, as we age, we gradually, our hearing declines, okay? And it's not like we wake up one day and it's, you know, it's gotten significantly worse. It's every day, incrementally, tiny little bit worse. And over the course of, you know, we noticeably start losing our hearing in our 30s. We can measure it, okay? But by the time we're 65, we're going, okay, I'm starting to struggle. Things aren't as clear as they used to be, but I'm not ready for hearing aids yet. I'm not old enough for hearing aids yet. And so they decide to wait and struggle for another 5 to 7 years. And meanwhile, things are getting incrementally worse. Okay, so by the time they come in, they've got this hearing loss that is significant. And there's a couple components to what happens when your hearing system declines, because not only are the nerves getting worse, but the brain, the auditory cortex, the portion of the brain that, you know, makes sense of these sounds and processes it, it's like a muscle. It starts to shrink because it's got less input. Okay, so we're not pushing that part of the brain as hard as we were back when their hearing was good. So when we reintroduce them to all these sounds again that they haven't been hearing, it, and it could be little things like, you know, the creaks in the floor, right? They haven't heard that in a long time, and they're like, what is this? Like, they're just overwhelmed by the sounds that are in their world that they haven't experienced in a long time. And it can be scary. So they're either all for it, or they're like, oh no, this is too much. And so we have to gauge that client on an individual basis where they're at, and see how we want to approach that client. So we like to use the dimmer method with hearing aids because they've been living in the dark for a long time. We don't want to just come in and flick on all the lights and be like, here you go, welcome back. So we like to slowly reintroduce them back into the world so that their brain can actually grow again to tolerate these sounds. Because not only do they have to, you know, take it all in, they also have to start, you know, deciding what sounds are important and what sounds aren't, right? So they go, okay, yeah, that's just, you know, the door closing over there, but my focus is over here, right? So there's a lot of things that go into the process of hearing again clearly. And I think that can be a barrier for some people because it's just like, I didn't expect it was going to be this much of a change. So, and I think that's also where, you know, clients will come in and they try to control the appointment, right? Where like, look, it's too much. And then so we carve out all of this sound that they need to hear clearly. And then they go home and they're not having the experience they need. And again, gives the industry a bad look, because they have this very strong opinion of what they're experiencing, and we're not having enough follow up with them to gradually bring them back, right? So client will come in very angry, and we're like, whoa, okay, I'll take it away. You enjoy what you get. Unfortunately, a lot of people do that, and I think it's really important that I'm going to pull this away, but just know I'm going to bring it back at some point. Okay, give them that expectation. We've just moved a little bit too fast for you as an individual.
Well, I think to add on to that, because really that's kind of twofold, right? As much as it is about the apprehension to change, it's really that sometimes we become our own barriers, right? We see a lot of patients that come in and they really struggle with investing in themselves, right? I'm saving my money for my kids or my grandkids. I might die tomorrow, so why would I invest this kind of money in my, quality of life or my hearing, when, I'm in my 80s and I don't have a crystal ball? So I think that sometimes we can create unnecessary boundaries and obstacles for ourselves because we want to be in service to everybody but us.
Let's talk about the vanity barrier. People are so concerned that others will see their hearing aids. Where do you think that barrier comes from?
I think the vanity barrier comes from just the fact that hearing aids are relatively new to us as humans. I mean, glasses have been around for hundreds of years, right? And we've gotten used to it, and we've been able to style them and make them look nice, and hearing aids haven't had that time, right? They're, less than 80 years old. Right? And technology is at the point where we can make them really small, which I think is great. I think that helps with the vanity thing. But yeah, we're just not used to them, right? It's just what's in your ear? That's weird. It's strange. Why is that? What's wrong with you? type thing, right? But it shouldn't be. Right. I mean, we're seeing it always starts with the children. Like they're starting to have dolls with hearing aids and things like that. So if it's starting to become normalized for children, when they grow older, they're going to see things in people's ears and it's just not going to be normal, commonplace. Right. And because it's so uncommon still, I think people are very concerned. I don't want to see people seeing that I have, something in my ear. That's my.
I think too that for a lot of people, hearing aids do make you look old, and there's that concern. But I think that for the most part, the majority of people that really have a difficult time with acceptance with hearing aids are actually males, right? Females sometimes will come in and they'll say, well, I don't want my friends to see them. And then you show them how small and discreet, especially if they have longer hair, hearing aids can be. And it's quite an easy hurdle to overcome with those individuals. But for men in particular, it can be really challenging. And I think that we have to remember that because the majority of people that we service are in a particular demographic. These are men who for their whole lives have been conditioned to be strong, to be providers, right? And now we're asking them to walk around with a beacon behind their ears that indicate there's something fallible about them. There's something, some kind of weakness, right? And I think that for men in particular, in that, you know, 70 plus category, accepting hearing aids can be really difficult from a vanity perspective.
What have hearing aid manufacturers done, let's talk about the last 5 years, to address the vanity issue?
Well, I think that manufacturers are absolutely trying to make instruments more discreet, trying to put, you know, really great technology into a really, really small house, which can definitely help overcome that barrier for some individuals. But just like glasses, we're also seeing, you know, some neat colors being introduced, right? We're seeing manufacturers that are offering blues and purples and pinks. We're also seeing a trend in the industry where hearing aids are looking more like AirPods or earbuds, mm-hmm. right? Which is very, you know, especially now, socially the norm, right? That you walk around with your AirPods when you're doing your grocery shopping and when you're on public transit. We're walking the dog, right? So mimicking technology that is very acceptable in today's world is also helping bridge the gap when it comes to hearing aid technology.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even the like the ear, the AirPods or the in the ear Bluetooth earbud kind of style hearing aids, they make these colors that that make them just appear like they are an earbud, but then the client will actually request, you know, the old skin tone kind of style that, you know, is, you know, got that older look to it.
Geriatric beige.
Right? It's just, it's interesting that they're like, oh no, I don't want it. I don't want people to see it, even though it's like clearly visible. But they would rather it blend in than, you know, be like a fashion piece or you know, it looks like an earbud,
mm-hmm.
right? So we still have barriers with the older generation.
Thanks for joining us today, Nancy and Elliot. It's been really interesting.
It is really interesting, all the reasons besides financial that people have for not getting hearing aids when they have hearing loss.
I wonder if they knew the risks they're putting themselves under if they get past the vanity and self-care issues. We should talk about that in an upcoming podcast.
Agreed. Let's do that.
Join us next time when we visit with Roger and Nina of Bolton, Ontario, and we talk about the difference hearing aids have made in their lives. Thanks for joining us today on the Life Sounds Good podcast, brought to you by Hear Well, Be Well.
Don't forget to subscribe, and you can also find us on Facebook.
And if you have a story about hearing or your experience with hearing aids that you'd like to share, drop us a line at podcast@hearwellbewell.ca.
Hear us next time on Life Sounds Good.